Don't have a lot of time to waste today. Brother Long gives you a 35-minute time limit. When I asked our people to pray for me to preach up here today, I said, Brother Long gives us 35 minutes to preach, and they all laughed. I don't know why they did that. We bring you greetings from Northside Baptist Church in Elkton, Kentucky. And we'd ask you at this time to turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. We begin reading in verse 17. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." We'll stop there, and we'll look primarily at verse 18. Our subject today is prayer. It's something that we're all commanded to do, something that we need to do. But at the same time, I believe there's a whole lot of people today don't really understand what prayer is. My oldest sister, who passed away this past January, she wasn't a churchgoer. But anytime anything ever happened to her or one of her friends, she'd say, "Put so-and-so on your prayer list." And that's the only time a lot of people think about prayer, is when there's a crisis in their life. Prayer is more than just praying in the time of crisis. We do need to pray in a time of crisis. But prayer involves every aspect of our life. And we will mention a few things here that prayer is. But in your mind, what is prayer? Paul says here, praying always with all prayer and supplication. There are many different types of prayer, and we can't expound on all of them today, but here we find he says, praying in all supplication. Supplication is a type of prayer. Prayer is addressing Almighty God. Prayer is that we address God for obtaining favor and good, or to avert evil. Prayer is a time when we just talk with God. Do you realize that that's what prayer is? It's communicating with God. And there are times that just as we go about every day, we need to pause and give God thanks for His manifold blessings. We need to give God praise and honor for that which He does in this world. You know, we've had a lot of what they call natural disasters that have gone on in the last few years. And many people, you know, we hear you pray for the victims. Well, we do need to pray for those people. But I think what we need to realize is God has brought these things upon this earth. And we need to pray for ourselves, that we would not be sidetracked by the world, that we realize that God is in charge. He's in charge of our life. And everything that we do in this world, we need to pause and give God thanks for. We need to give God, ask God's guidance and His direction. And when He has accomplished those things in our life, take time to give Him thanks. Prayer, as we said, comes in many forms. We plea for things. We praise God for things. We ask God's blessings. There are intercessions, not for others, in our life. There's thanksgiving that we are to give unto Him. Supplications. And one of the important things of prayer is perseverance. We need to persevere in prayer. You know, sometimes when we pray for something or for someone, Many times people stop. But I always think of the unjust judge when it comes to perseverance in prayer. What did that widow do? She continued speaking to the unjust judge. And the Lord was giving us an example here. We need to continue to bring things before Him. It's not just a one-time affair. We need to continue bringing each and everything in our life, each and every issue that comes before us, bring them before the Lord. And when God has answered, we don't stop. We give Him praise and thanks and honor and glory for that which He has done in our life. Prayer is something that we need to do at any moment. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, a familiar verse with us, and I'm afraid some people look at this in the wrong way. He says, pray without ceasing. That does not mean that we pray 100% of the time in our life. We know that's absurd. We cannot function if we were 100% of our day praying before the Lord. But what I believe it means is that we should be in a condition at any time, anywhere, to be able to come before the throne of God and bring forth before Him whatever the need is, or the thanksgiving, the supplication, or whatever type of prayer that we need to bring before Him. We need to be able to do it at the time that it's needed. Remember a few years ago, about 40 years ago probably, Brother Eugene Clark was preaching. And there had been some people at that time saying what you had to do and to pray properly and everything. And he said, brothers, I was going bird hunting the other day. He says, and a car pulled right out in front of me. I didn't have any time to do all these things that you say were required. He says, I just prayed, Lord, help me. Yeah. You know, we need to be able to pray at any time, whatever the situation, and be ready. Prayer, in reality, is a personal relationship between us and God. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to have to kind of watch my time here. I'll do what they don't really realize I do back home sometimes. If I ever look at the clock and I see I've been gone a while, I'll just cut it off. And I'll try to do that. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's. And if you read this whole sixth chapter here, there's much about prayer. And I believe our preparation for prayer. He says here, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. We all pray publicly. And when we come to church, we're supposed to. But many times, public prayer is not really what it ought to be. I know I remember the first time that I was called on to pray after I was baptized into the membership of a New Testament Baptist church. I was shocked. What do I do? But here, most of our prayer life is spent in secret, or at least it should be. He says, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. The best time of prayer for me is when I go to my office and I go in and I sit down. There's nobody there but me and the Lord. I guess you'd call that my closet. But you can pour out your heart to the Lord. And you can bring your burdens before Him. You can bring your requests. You can bring supplications and prayer, praise and honor unto Him. And there are times when I finish praying that I feel refreshed. Why? Because I've been in the presence of Almighty God. I've been in communication with Him. Remember, prayer is communication with God. Prayer is communication with our Heavenly Father. He says, we need to separate ourselves with our God when we pray unto Him. I've talked to several people. One time, one man, he had been a member of Northside Baptist Church way back, 30 years ago. And we went out to visit him. His sister's a member of our church. He said, I still pray and go on and on and on. And you felt like calling him a liar. Anybody that's out living like the world, I don't think, prays. They may utter some words, but they're not praying. And again, when those situations come, most of those people, the only time they pray is when a crisis comes in their life. I don't want to wait till there's a crisis to communicate with God. Everything we have upon our heart, we need to spill it out before our God. He hears. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. And there's an example, and we're not going to turn there for the sake of time, but back in 2 Kings in chapter 4, Elisha, the lady come to him and said, my son, the son that you promised me that he's dead. What did Elijah do? He went and he prayed unto God for that child. And God raised that child from the dead. But Elisha brought a real crisis before God. And God answers. Many times you hear people say, well, God never answers my prayers. Well, you may never have really got before God in prayer. You may not have separated yourself unto Him. You may not, and if you haven't surrendered your soul unto God, I don't believe He hears you. Does He know what you're saying? Yes, He does. But there's not that communication. There's not that intimacy with God. He is our Heavenly Father. And when we think about that, once we were children growing up, and we wanted something or needed something, if there was a problem, I went and I talked. When you talked to your dad or your mother, there was that parental relationship. And God is our Father. Our parents, they had concern for us. Our Heavenly Father cares for us. Finish reading this sixth chapter of the book of Matthew and you will see that. He also says He knows what we stand in need of before we ask. And you think about that for a while. Before we ever ask, before we ever come before Him, He knows what we stand in need of. Well, I think of Daniel also in when he was... The issue was went forth that no one could pray to any god. They had to go before address the king for a period of time. Daniel kept his, if you want to call it routine, he kept his same routine. And I don't believe that Daniel just opened the windows at that particular time. I believe he left them open all the time. He went, as he did before, three times a day, bowed towards Jerusalem and prayed. He didn't care that they seen him outside. He was cast in the lion's den, and God delivered him. God knows what we stand in need of before we ask. Prayer is offering to God the Father through the Son. So we look further down here in Matthew chapter 6. we find here beginning in verse 8. He says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask." And just prior to this, the Lord was speaking about, you know, just repetitious. Repeating. And prayer is not something you get out of a book. You know, there's a lot of prayer books that some have written. There was a young couple visited New Hope Baptist Church back in early 30s. I mean, not early 30s. I wasn't around then. But in the 70s. And Brother Hamill called on a young man to dismiss in prayer. And the man went up to Brother Wallace afterwards and he says, "What book did you get that prayer out of? I'd like to read that." Brother Wallace says, "That just came from my heart." Prayer is not repetition. Prayer is not just something that you look in a book and repeat. Prayer comes from the heart. But he says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In other words, when we begin to pray, we need to realize who we're addressing. And we need to put Him where He belongs. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is our Heavenly Father. Holy is the one we're praying unto. Holy is the one who answers our prayer. Holy is the one who owns this world. Holy is the one who will deliver the sick from their bed. Holy is the one who sends the storms. Holy is the one who heals. Holy is the one who will direct this world. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." His will be done. And we need to realize this when we pray. His will be done, not ours. How many people, when they pray, offer up selfish desires? It's all about them. Our prayer should not be all about us. Our prayer is about God. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And that's not a demand, that's a request. You know, we in this, especially in this country, we have more food than the rest of the world combined sometimes. How much of that do we waste? When I was in the United States Army, I seen more food thrown away than most people have in a year's time. And I'm talking about just over a period of a few days. But thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How many people will ask God's forgiveness of sin? And I don't think they're really asking God's forgiveness of sin because they use generalities. Asking forgiveness of sin is getting down to the actuality. I've done this. Forgive me. And do it in sincerity, not in generality. I believe some people think just because they say, "Forgive me my sins," that God has forgiven them. We need to be specific. We need to get down to what we have done. He says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." In other words, there is evil in this world. And all you got to do is turn the news on and you can see the evil working in this world. We don't know how much of that evil we'll see before the Lord calls us home. But He says here, deliver us from evil. I don't believe the Lord will protect us from evil. Again, we don't know how much we will experience before we leave this world. But God is in charge. Prayer is to be offered up to the Heavenly Father through our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the book of John in chapter 14, and there are several places where this is mentioned, but we just want to see here. John chapter 14 and beginning verse 13, here he says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments." But the key here, and we are to pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to make our petitions and our pleas before God the Father through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That's the key. Do our prayers, do our requests, do we understand that when we pray and we before the God Almighty, that He is to be glorified through the Son? Most of the time, people seek to glorify themselves. They seek to glorify others. But whatever we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to ask with the intentions that God the Father would be glorified. Amen. He is going to receive the honor and the glory. But we need to realize that when we pray before the Heavenly Father, that we're to seek His guidance and we're to seek His glory, not our own. We should never ask for the lust of our flesh. Many do. Many ask for the things that they want, not the things that would glorify the Lord. When I prayed concerning this conference and those others that will be preaching and that which will go down in this conference, I have asked that God would be glorified. Some people try to judge the content or the delivery of men when they preach. Don't worry about it. I've known some men in my life that were poorly educated. There was a man up in Michigan, probably none of you even know him but us, my wife and I, who, when he was called to preach, couldn't read and write. His wife used to read the Bible to him, and he'd get up and preach. He eventually was able to read. That fellow, whenever he preached, it was just to glorify God. He didn't have excellency of speech. He didn't have the highest education. He didn't have any education, period. But he sought to glorify God. And this is what we need to think about when we pray and prepare to come to these places. God, you be glorified. And when we start out a day, I believe we need to start our day with giving God thanks for another day He's provided for us this side of eternity. And that He would guide our steps. Guide our steps, guide our speech, guide our thoughts, that He would be glorified. That the Lord Jesus Christ might be exalted in our life. That folks might see Christ dwelling in us. And therefore ask of the hope that dwells within us. And in so doing, we'd give Him the honor and the glory. Many people have this thing all turned around. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about our Lord and Savior and our Heavenly Father. And we also want to look then over in Romans in chapter 8 for a moment. And this is something we need to realize and seek in our prayer life. You know, there's many times when we pray, we don't know what to pray for or how to pray, but we have an aid. In verses 26 and 27 here of Romans 8, he says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So what's he telling us here? I believe what he's telling us here, when we pray, we're to submit, we're to surrender to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's going to be things on our heart and mind. There's going to be things we know, individuals we know to pray about, but we don't know how properly to pray for them. So we submit to the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit of God will guide our prayers. And it's when the Spirit of God has truly guided our prayers that when we finish, I believe we'll be refreshed in soul and spirit. We will realize that we have spoken to the Heavenly Father and that His will be done, not ours. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." I believe those prayers then reach the throne of God when we surrender our soul and spirit unto the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we can pray unto our Heavenly Father.